Thank you, Dom. So amazing for us as a student community to be able to bless our church in this way this morning. And we're so privileged to be backed by all of you guys as we do it. Thank you particularly to Malachi and Jay-Z on the tech. They've been thrown into the deep end with their serving on tech, and they do such a great job. I'm just going to pray again as we start. Not that your prayer wasn't good enough, Dom, but we all need prayer, and especially me this morning. Lord Jesus, thank you for the opportunity to come together as a church family this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you, to praise you, to glorify you. And thank you for speaking to us this morning. Thank you for speaking through me. I pray that you'd give us ears to hear what you've got to say to us. Would you help us to be encouraged and built up by what you've got to say this morning? In your name, amen. So we're continuing our series through Luke, and we've made it to the feeding of the 5,000 in Luke 9. I'm going to get into it. It's chapter 9, verses 10 to 17. Verse 10 says, "On their return, the apostles told him all that they had done, and he took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida." Now, the disciples have just finished their mission, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere, as it says in verse 6. And this is what Bex was talking to us last week about. So they've been out, they've been putting themselves out there. They've seen the power of God at work in their lives. And Jesus wants to hear their testimonies. He wants to hear what God has been doing in their lives. And he wants them to come away to a desolate place to rest, to take stock of what they've just seen of God's power. I think this is a great reminder of when we've been serving, to come away and remember, reflect on what God's done in our lives. And verse 11, that when the crowds learned it, they followed him and he welcomed them. Jesus has come away for some time alone, and the crowds are not letting him have that. And I wonder how you might react in this situation. I certainly wouldn't be this welcoming, especially not if I was one of the disciples. I'd just been pouring out my heart and wanted some time alone with my friends, with my teacher. I wouldn't want to have to carry on doing that and have to bother with the multitude of people. But Jesus welcomes them, and he speaks to them of the kingdom of God and cures those who had need of healing. Now, Jesus' ministry here is described in the same way as the disciples' ministry in the previous passage. It's preaching and healing. And I think Jesus doesn't hold back parts of his ministry for just himself. He invites us all to preach the kingdom of God and to heal. And I believe that God wants us to do that in our lives today as well. It says, "Now the day began to wear away, and the 12 came and said to him, 'Send the crowd away to go into the surrounding villages and countryside to find lodging and get provisions, for we are here in a desolate place.'" The disciples show that they care about the crowds. They recognize their needs and they propose to Jesus a solution. Now we know, we might know what is about to come, so we might think, oh, they don't really care, or they don't really have faith in Jesus, but actually they're showing that they do care about the crowds. They're offering to get them sorted out with food and lodging. And how often do we, when we're faced with problems, how often do we look to a physical solution and forget the power that God has at his disposal? It says, he said to them, "You give them something to eat." 5,000 people. You give them something to eat. It's not possible. They say, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we're to go and buy food for all these people. Now, I think this is a bit of a joke from the disciples. In the other Gospels, we're told it would take 1/2 year's wages to provide food for this number of people. They're not going to be able to do it by human hands, and they're perplexed. There's no way that they can provide food for this many people. All they can do is to trust in Jesus. It says, for there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. And they did so and had them all sit down. Imagine the scene. 5,000 people have turned up to listen to Jesus. And we're told that it's 5,000 men, so it's actually men plus women and children. So there's so many people. And they've been spending the whole day. Jesus has been teaching to them. He's been healing their sick. They've probably all been trying to get as close to him as possible. It was probably messy and noisy. But Jesus gets them all to sit down. He gets them all settled. And his disciples follow his instructions faithfully. They don't question him. All they can do is trust him. And now you've got maybe 15,000 people sitting at his feet expectant. What's he going to do next? And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing over them. He doesn't say, God, would you give me some more food, please? He doesn't say, why haven't you given me enough? He thanks God for the small amount of food that he has. It's a small amount of food, really, it's insignificant. You've got 5 loaves and 2 fish, and there's 5,000 hungry people in front of you. Jesus has essentially nothing in human eyes, but he is so in tune with the Spirit and with his Father's will that he recognizes God's ability to feed the crowd with 5 loaves and 2 fish. It shows amazing trust in the Father, amazing trust in God's ability. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. Now, Jesus could have performed this miracle from where he stood. He could have placed a loaf of bread in everyone's hand, or he could have even put food directly into their stomachs. But he chooses to use his disciples in this miracle. He lets them experience his power working through them. And I believe as God lets us experience his power working through us, it emboldens our faith. And I think that's why Jesus chose to work this miracle through his disciples. And finally it says, they all ate and were satisfied. And what was left over was picked up, 12 baskets of broken pieces. Last year I went to the Mark drama, which was put on by CU, and they enact this miracle as part of it, and it's quite humorous as they give out the loaves of bread, and then they pick up the 12 baskets, and it's just they keep picking up more from nothing, and it's such an amazing display of just like the ludicrousy of this miracle. There's just 12 baskets of broken pieces when there's been 5 loaves to go around 5,000 people. Jesus' provision here is abundant. It's lavish. It's absurd. He provides more than is needed. He's demonstrated his complete power and his control over creation. But he's done so in a way which also recognizes how much he values those who follow him. It's a display of power, but it's also a display of Jesus' humility, his willingness to involve the disciples in this miracle. Now, when I researched this passage, I learned this is the only miracle that's recorded in all 4 Gospels, apart from the resurrection. And that's for a good reason. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus' miracles, they reveal to us who he is. They show us his power over the physical and spiritual realms, and they also show how he fulfills the Old Testament. And this miracle does both of those things in significant ways. So it's supposed to remind us of two Old Testament miracles. So the first is of Moses and the second is of Elisha. And at the time, the Jews would not have missed the significance of this. In fact, in John's account of this miracle, at the end of it, they are so convinced that he's their Messiah that they try to take him away and make him king. So he has to run away and escape. So the first miracle of Moses is when the Israelites have just been freed from slavery in Egypt. And they've been brought by Moses out into the wilderness. And they've got nothing to eat. But it says in Exodus 16 that the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." "Behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven." It's silly. It's a crazy display of God's power over creation. And it says in later on in that chapter, "But when they measured it, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat." Note the parallels. You've got people hungry in the wilderness. There's a task that's impossible by human hands. And what happens? Well, everyone eats their fill, and it's according to God's word. In 2 Kings, Elisha the prophet has 20 loaves and some corn to feed 100 men. And listen to what it says. "A man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. And Elisha said, 'Give to the men that they may eat.' But his servant said, 'How can I set this before 100 men?' So he repeated, 'Give them to the men that they may eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left.' So he set it before them, and they ate and had some left, according to the word of the Lord." Now it says the servant said, "How can I set this before 100 men?" I think we could, we can feel what he's feeling. You've got 100 men before you and 20 loaves of bread. It's not really enough. But Elisha encourages him that the Lord has ordained that there will be enough to eat. And note the parallels again. There's insufficient food to feed a large quantity of people. And a miracle happens by the faith of the master and through the willingness of his servant. And it happens according to God's word. So coming back to the feeding of the 5,000, do we see what's happening? He's provided food for a multitude of people from an insufficient supply. He's performed a miracle that's greater than that of Moses and Elisha. In fact, he was the power at work in those miracles. And while the Old Testament miracles involved godly people hearing and trusting God's word, Jesus, being one with God, only needed to say thank you for the food that he had. And this doesn't only point back to the Old Testament, but it also furthers the gospel narrative. It looks forward to the coming kingdom. When Moses and the Israelites were in the wilderness, they were waiting to be delivered into the promised land. And in a similar way, Jesus is about to deliver the Israelites, but just not in the same way that they were expecting. He's about to bring a new kingdom, a new spiritual kingdom. And by the power of the Holy Spirit living in us today, if we approach our lives with thanksgiving and faith and surrender all that we have to Jesus, I believe that we can see miracles of abundant provision, just as the disciples experienced that day. Now I want to talk a bit more about this idea of thanksgiving. Jesus thanked God for the small amount of food that we had, even though it seemed insignificant to the disciples. And I believe there's a really great power in thanksgiving. I think things change when we give thanks. I definitely don't engage in thanksgiving enough, but from my experience, trying to incorporate it into my prayer life and into my sort of daily routines, it transforms what's going on in the spiritual realm. It opens up the way for God to move in our lives. Because when we give thanks, we recognize and remember what God has done for us. We remember that he is in control, and this reminds us to trust him wholeheartedly. I've got 3 points to encourage us all to doing this today. So it says in verse 13, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. They have basically nothing. And we're told in John's gospel that this food comes from a small boy, presumably from the crowd. So Jesus used one boy's packed lunch to feed 5,000 people. and in the same way, I believe that Jesus can use the small things that we have to do much greater things than we could do with them on our own. And we see this through the Gospels. In Matthew 17, it says, if you have a faith like a grain of mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. A tiny amount of faith can move a mountain, and we can be sure of that because it says that in God's word. Jesus also tells a story of the rich men and a widow's offering, where the rich men come and pour in their money bags, and then a widow comes along and puts in 2 pennies. And Jesus says that the widow's offering, even though it seems smaller to human eyes, is greater than that of the rich men in God's eyes. So let's be encouraged that everything that we have, no matter how small or insignificant it may seem, can be multiplied by thanking God for it and surrendering it to him in trust. And God can and will achieve with it far more than we could on our own. In verse 14 it says, for there were about 5,000 men. This miracle is showing that Jesus has complete power and authority over his creation. And throughout Luke so far, he's been demonstrating this power. He's shown his power over Satan, over demons, over physical illness, over sin, and even over death. No problem is too big for God to overcome. In fact, he's already dealt with everything we will face in our lives. And God shows his ultimate power in Jesus' resurrection. And that same power that Jesus used to, that God used to raise Jesus from the death, is now living in us by his Holy Spirit. Nothing that we could possibly come up against is beyond God's control. In verse 17, it says, what was left over was picked up, 12 baskets of broken pieces. Jesus loves to give his children good gifts. He loves to provide abundantly for us. Now, I've been blessed this past year to have 3 amazing flatmates who are all here today. And yeah, God has provided for us abundantly in each other, but he's also provided us with an amazing flat. And I remember in the summer we were looking and looking, and we came to dead ends, and we kept searching. But I believe that it was the power of prayer and just asking God to provide us with a flat that is why we have such an amazing place now. And actually, that flat wasn't exactly what we were looking for, but it's been so much greater blessing than we could have ever thought it would be. So God wants to give to his children abundantly. He wants to give us good gifts. And I believe that he will do that in our lives. Now, the gospel message teaches us that when we give our messy, broken, unattractive lives to Jesus, he transforms them into something perfect, whole, and beautiful in God's sight. But giving our lives to Jesus is not just a one-off occasion. We need to be living in a state of constant surrender. Every second of every day needs to be surrendered to him. Every area of our life should be under his control. Why? Because every part of our lives here on earth are from him, but they're also intended to be for him, for his glory. If we surrender everything that we have to him, he can do amazing things in our lives. And that isn't restricted to the day we give our life to Jesus. It's every day of our lives. Romans 12 verse 1 says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Everything about us should be surrendered to God. So if there's anything that you want to give God this morning, no matter how big or how small, I'd encourage you to seek prayer from the ministry team. They'll be at the back for the rest of the worship. And I'm just going to close in prayer as the worship team come up. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for speaking to us this morning. I pray you'd help us remember your power in our lives, your authority over creation. Would you help us to remember that you can provide abundantly from the small things that we are able to offer? Let us not forget to surrender everything to you in thanksgiving and in faith.